Okay, the title of the sermon, and you know, if you listen to the sermon, you will understand it, but the title is Running from Pain. Okay, that's not good, okay, I'm not saying do that, but it's not good, but the title is Running from Pain, because usually most of us run from pain to something else. We're running towards something else that's not going to help us to deal with pain. And that's what I want to talk about today. The passage is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 to 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 to 31. It says, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak, okay, those who are in pain. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And the church said, Amen. You know, there in this passage, what I see is there's two different directions that you can go. Okay, you can go toward where you will be tired, you know, you'll be weary, where you will stumble and fall. But it says, but those who hope in the Lord, okay, those who hope in the Lord will go a different direction. You will go toward strength. You will go toward power, where you will renew your strength. You will soar. You will walk and not be faint. Okay? This is the direction that our church is going towards. Okay? And in the context, what I want to talk about is pain. Okay? Pain. In this broken world, there's pain, okay? You are broken, I'm broken, so, you know, there's pain inside of us. We will face pain because, there, you know, other people is broken and this world is broken, okay? And where there is pain, you can go two different directions. Where there's pain, you can go two different directions. You can go in the direction where you'll stumble and fall, or you can go to the direction where you will renew your strength and you will soar. Huh? We're going to go toward that direction as a church. And you know, when it comes to pain, but most of us, here's the problem, most of us, we are running to something else, you know, to avoid pain. We are running to something to run away from pain. And what we are running toward to avoid pain, there's a couple big things that we run toward. Number one is addiction. Okay? It's in the addiction. And something that, you know, because we're running away from pain, is but even though you run away, that doesn't mean it's not there. It's there. Okay? And but the way we run away, we try to numb ourselves, okay? And we all know this, addiction, okay, will not strengthen you, okay? It will make you weak, it will make you weary, it will make you stumble and fall. See, when there's pain, we run toward what will bring temporary comfort. Will bring temporary that something that will numb our pain. So what do we run towards? We run toward drugs. We run toward porn. We run toward sex, food, video game, money. Okay, and we try to fill our life with things that will numb us from the pain. But if you go that direction, you are running toward something where you will stumble and fall and you will be in bondage, okay? That's addiction, addiction. Now, where there's addiction is because, and again, we're trying to cover up the pain that's inside of us, to numb our pain. And there was a study that was done, you know, with rats. With, you know, this study on addiction with rats. In the beginning, what they did was they put the rats in tiny, isolated cages, and they were there 24/7, not much room to move, and there was no interaction with other rats. They were isolated in this small cage, and what they did is, if they wanted drugs, they just need to press a lever. If they want heroin or morphine or cocaine, they just need to press a lever with this rat that's isolated in a small cage. And what do you know what the rats did? Constantly just pressed it. Constantly. And they became addicted. Addicted rats. Okay? But there was a researcher that tried something different. His name is Bruce Alexander. He conducted a different experiment on addiction. Okay? What he did was he created what he called a rat park. Okay? A rat park. And there was a community of rats. You know, he wasn't alone, he wasn't isolated, but many other rats, okay, happy rats. And there was a lot of space to run around. There were wheels and toys, plenty of food. And it was kind of like a resort for rats. That's what he created, okay? Resort for rats. And in this experiment, the rats had a choice. Either drink fluids from one of two dispensers. One had plain tap water, okay? Plain tap water, okay? It wasn't bottled water, but plain tap water. And then the other one was, drug-laced water, okay? And you know what happened? The rats in that park consistently resisted the morphine water. Those rats preferred the plain water. You know what else he did? He got those addicted rats from those cage, you know, where they were isolated, and they were addicted. You know, they were for they said 57 days. And they moved those addicted rats into the rat park. Okay? You know what happened? There was no counseling or anything, you know? There was no counseling. Okay? Those rats, addicted rats, would stop drinking the morphine-laced water and start drinking the plain water. They would be healed from their addiction by themselves. By themselves. So what does this experiment show? It shows that drugs themselves do not cause addiction. Okay? Rather, it is the isolation, it is the loneliness, it is the hopelessness, it's the pain that's causing addiction. Yeah? It's the pain that's causing the addiction. See, we, because of the pain that's inside us, we run toward addiction because we are running away from something, running away from this deep pain. We want to run toward something that will numb us. Okay? That's addiction. Second thing is that, number two, what we do, what else we run toward is anger and fear. Okay? Anger and fear. Now, anger and fear, you know, is not a good way to deal with pain. It's a very unhealthy way to deal with pain. It doesn't deal with pain. Okay? We all know this. We shouldn't suppress any emotion, so we shouldn't suppress any anger and fear. But what we do, we vent it all the time, anger and fear. We're not dealing with the pain. How many of you know, no matter how angry you got, how fearful you got, did it ever heal you from your pain? No, it doesn't. Okay? It doesn't. See, when you vent your anger and fear, it comes out as either when you're angry, fight, or when you're fearful, flight, you run away. Okay? Anger causes you to fight. Fear causes you to flight. It causes you to fight, meaning the anger, when you fight, there's physical violence, you use intimidation. They're swearing. Okay? How many of you know you swear because you're angry? Okay? It's not I love you and beep, 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 beep. You know, it doesn't happen that way. Okay? You become stubborn. You try to control and manipulate, okay? Or dominate. You become more critical and more judgmental. You know, I want to teach you the right thing. Eh? In this culture, just express anything. And how many of you know When you release your anger in an unhealthy way, you destroy yourself and you destroy others around you. Okay? What about fear? Okay? It makes you flight. What's the result of fear when it's released in an unhealthy way? The wall goes up in your heart. Okay? You run away. You isolate yourself. You think the worst. Okay? You think the worst out of any situation. And you develop an anxiety attack. Right? There's an how many of you know, if you think the worst, you isolate yourself, there's an anxiety attack, it's not going to help you deal with pain. Right? If you get angry and you dominate and control, you get stubborn, it's not going to help you deal with pain. Okay? Instead, you need to be healed. Okay? Be set free from your deep-rooted pain. That's what you need to focus. You need to go there. I know it's not easy to go there. But don't go to addiction. Don't stay in anger and fear. But we need to go to the deep-rooted pain. And when you walk out the healing and freedom, focusing on the deep-rooted pain, guess what's going to happen? It's going to remove your anger. It's going to remove your fear. Okay? Healing and freedom from deep-rooted pain, I'm going to speak truth to you, is hard work. It's hard work. Okay? It's not easy. But venting anger and fear, okay? It's easy. It's easy. You and I get angry and fearful because it's easy to show anger and fear. And very difficult to go to the root pain and deal with it. Overcoming deep-rooted pain takes a lot of work. It is not easy. It takes prayer. It takes trusting God. It takes self-reflection. It takes courage. It takes you taking responsibility. It takes truth. It takes counseling, and it takes accountability. So it's not easy. It's not easy to look at your deep-rooted pain. Venting in fear is not dealing with pain. It's easy. That's why little kids, okay, when they face difficulties, when they feel rejected, what's the first thing that come out? Anger or fear. And it doesn't help them. Right? Instead, we got to figure out what is the deep-rooted pain our kids are going through. And we need to talk about that and help them deal with that. They get all scared. Oh, okay, just release your fear. Just go express your fear. With my kids, dealing with that doesn't help them. We got to get to the root of their fear. Right? And we got to help them go there. Right? It's not just expressing that emotion that will help them. Amen? Is it clear? Okay. What are we running from? What is the pain that we're trying to avoid? There's three different sorts of pain. Number one, rejection. Okay? And Jesus was rejected. Okay? Jesus was rejected by authority figures of his time, by his family, by his hometown. That's what the Bible says. He was rejected by his hometown. Can you imagine being rejected by your whole town that you grew up with, the people that you knew? It's like I go to Creskill and they all reject me, Creskill, New Jersey, You go to Paramount, And he was rejected by his friends and by his disciples. He was betrayed by his disciples. Now, Jesus did not become a victim. He didn't turn to drugs. Did you know that? Okay? He didn't turn to drugs. He didn't brew in anger and fear. Jesus overcame rejection. Okay? He overcame rejection. How do I know that? Because he went to the cross and sacrificed himself for others. See, many years ago when I planted my first church, you know, I faced a lot of rejection. You know, there was a lot of gossip, a lot of judgment, a lot of criticism. And one day there was this local church leader. You know, he said he wanted to talk. I didn't even know this guy. He wanted to talk to me, right? So, you know, he came and he seemed pretty upset. And well, this is what he said to me. You know, I think what you're doing is so wrong. I go, I'm just planting a church, right? What you're doing is so wrong. And I was so mad at you. That's what he was saying. I was so mad at you. I just listened, and then, okay, we went our separate way, and he rejected me. And this rejection did not bring me lasting scar. Right? I was able to move on pretty quickly after that meeting. Right? It did not affect me. Why? Because I didn't really know him. But what scars us is not rejection from people that we barely know. It is from people that we are close to. Okay? It's family members. It's dads and moms and spouse and children. Your best friend. Someone you were romantically involved with. Authority that you trusted. Okay? That's where it develops. Deep-rooted rejection. And I'm challenging you, don't be afraid of going there. Don't just cover it up with addiction. Don't cover it up with anger and fear. Let's be courageous. Don't be afraid to go there. Amen? Say that to your neighbor. Don't be afraid to go there. You know, this all, like, they overlap. Number two is shame. You know, we don't want to go there. Okay? Adam and Eve didn't want to go there. They realized that they were naked and they felt shame. Okay? And what is shame? This wasn't physical nakedness. I believe what they felt was being exposed, uncovered, being very vulnerable. Okay? And what shame says to you is this. And we don't want to deal with it because, you know, what shame says to people really, if people really knew you, you know, they will not accept you. They will reject you. Shame makes us fearful of being humiliated. Shame says something is wrong with you. Nobody wants you. You are a mistake. That's what shame says. And shame, when there's shame in your heart, you know why the devil, one of his favorite tools, shame? When there's shame in your heart, we don't want to build relationship. We want to run away from it. Priority is to do anything in life to avoid embarrassment. Shame makes us easily become hopeless in relationship. The way Adam and Eve dealt with shame was this. They hid from the Lord. See, breaks relationship with God. Shame breaks relationship with God. When they felt that they saw that they were naked and felt shame, they ran away from God and hid from God. You know, and what did they do? They covered themselves with fig leaves. And it doesn't work. What do? We cover ourselves with the right clothes, the right hairstyle, maybe the right car, a degree, we put on a mask. And that's fig leaves. You cannot run to those things because it will not help you with your shame. Okay? Number three, third thing that we're running away from is bitterness. Okay, it's bitterness. And if there's bitterness in your heart, you know, we all like to act like, you know, see, you know, you're somebody that you're bitter to, it's all like performance. Hi, how are you? I'm praying for you. And And bitterness, when you have pain and rejection, okay, when there's pain and rejection, you have not sinned. Okay, you have not sinned. Jesus was rejected. He felt pain from rejection. He wasn't a robot. He had emotion. So when he was rejected, it hurt him. It's not sin, but if you don't deal with rejection biblically, you will become bitter. Okay? And bitterness is sin. Did you hear that? Bitterness is sin. The Bible says if there's bitterness inside of you, it will cause a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. Okay? And also defile many. That's what Hebrews 12 verse 5 says. It will defile many. So what bitterness does, it hurts you, causes trouble in your life. And it grows so that because of that bitterness, you start hurting the people around you. Okay? Because of that bitterness. The reason we hurt people around us is because you have bitterness. Hello? It's not because they just reject you. It's because you have, Jesus was rejected, but he had no bitterness. That's why he was still able to love. It was because he had bitterness. It's because of bitterness. And what bitterness does, it makes the pain a lot worse. Huh? It makes the pain a lot, you know, bitterness is like a, you get rejected, you got a splinter. Say you got a splinter in your arm, right? And you feel this pain from rejection. What bitterness does is you push it in deeper. You push that splinter in deeper. You don't clean it, and you let it get infected. That's what bitterness is. Huh? Say to your neighbor, I will not be bitter. Huh? If you could go to the next slide, I'm going to ask you this one question. Fill in this blank. Okay, fill in this blank. It is hard for me to let go of what? Think about it. It's hard for me to let go of what? Okay? Because that's the source of your pain. What is it hard for you to let go? Okay? That's where shame is. There's what bitterness is. Okay? That's where rejection is. It's hard for me to let go of. Okay, just ask the Holy Spirit what that is. Okay? Is that place that you don't want to go? But what God's saying is, be courageous. Let's go there. Okay? What is it? It's hard for me to let go of. Okay? And if you identify it, I'm not going to leave you there. Now we're going to deal with it. We're going to deal with it. Next slide. Dealing with pain. What you're saying is, you're going to be that disciple who puts their hope in the Lord. Who puts their hope in the Lord. Those who put their hope in the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of an eagle. They shall run and not grow faint. Right? And so, how do we deal with pain? Number one, this is a more biblical way, grieve. I say to your neighbor, grieve. Now, to me, venting anger and fear is not grieving. It's just putting gasoline on anger and fear. You know, instead of doing that, you can grieve. You know, you don't stuff and push all your pain down. You don't pretend it's not there, that it doesn't exist. You know, if you do that, eventually you'll become emotionally unhealthy. You know, it will prevent you from moving forward. Huh? You get stuck. And God is calling this church to break boundaries, to move forward, to move forward. It's that pain, when we go the wrong direction, it makes us stuck. Huh? And so we got to know how to grieve. Huh? If you don't know how, you'll become stuck emotionally, and you can't get past your pain. And you'll spend the rest of your life reacting to something that happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 3 years ago. And what is grieving? What is biblical grieving? Grieving is releasing your pain. Not anger and fear is releasing your pain humanly. Grieving is releasing your pain to God. Releasing your pain to God. That's what David did in his Psalms. David says, you know, how long, O Lord? This is releasing his pain. Will you forget me forever? How long would you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart? He says, evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and my moaning to you, O God. He wasn't releasing it to, you know, other people. He wasn't releasing it to the air. He released his pain to the Lord. You know, but we got to have this faith, to do this right, to disbelieve. We believe that God moves during worship and prayer meeting. And here's the truth. Catalyst, this is the truth. God moves in our deepest pain. Say that to your neighbor. You know, we believe God loves us and wants to bless us when things are going well. God wants to bless you when things are not going well. Hello? God loves and wants to bless you in our pain. You know, we can't release our pain to God because we don't believe and trust God enough. You know, we need to believe and trust. We need to have this trust and this truth in our deepest pain that God is with me. God hasn't forgotten me. God will not pass me by. God is with me in my deepest pain. God is going to do a miracle in my deepest pain. He's going to heal me. He's going to set me free. We got to believe this with all our heart because that's who God is. You know, we think faith is it comes out in the mountaintop, but the Bible says it's in the valley, It's in the valley. Psalm 23, though I walk in the valley of shadow of death, though I'm in the midst of deep-rooted pain, Though I walk in the valley of shadow of death, it says, I will not fear. I will not get angry. I will not fear. Why? This psalmist had this faith. For you are with me. For you are with me. You're not alone. The creator of the universe is with you. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is with you. The Bible says, even if your own mother could forget you, it seems impossible. How can a mom forget her own child? You know what the Bible says? God says, I will not forget you. The reason we go to drugs and sex and alcohol, we don't believe that. We feel we're all alone, that nobody's with us. But there's this truth. The creator of the universe is with you. God's going to heal, not just be with you, because when he's with us, something happens. How many of you know if God is in this church, things happen? That's why we cry, God, your presence, move. He doesn't just sit there when it comes. Things happen. And when you know that God is with you, you will be healed. you will be set free. Number two, grieve, release your pain to the Lord. Forgive, forgive. Say to your neighbor, forgive. You know, unforgiveness opens the door to the wrong door. It will make you go the wrong direction or you'll stumble and fall. Forgiveness opens the door to healing from your pain. It opens the right door. You will start going the right direction, where you will soar, where you'll run and not go weary. Unforgiveness, there's the definition of unforgiveness I like. It's like, what unforgiveness and related with bitterness is this. It's like taking poison and making the decision by the act of your will to be bitter. That's what unforgiveness is. I'm choosing to be bitter. You're saying, no, it's my father who made me bitter. You know, it's my ex that made me bitter. No, you're choosing to be bitter. By the act of my will to be bitter, why? You're waiting for the other person to be poisoned. When you are the one that's drinking it, you're drinking the poison of unforgiveness and bitterness. Jesus, he was rejected, did not try to cover it up. He didn't numb himself with alcohol. He did not run away from rejection. Instead, Jesus on the cross, this is what he said, forgive them. Forgive them. Jesus forgave. If Jesus did not forgive, he would not have gone to the cross. He'll be too bitter. How many of you know you can't do great things if you're too bitter? You can't help people if you're bitter. Have you ever seen a very bitter people bring healing to other people? No, they bring more hurt. Hurt people, hurt people. But forgive, you open the right door and you start going the right direction. And God forgave because he wants to forgive you and I. Because he forgave us, we are able to forgive those who have hurt us. Amen? Number three, identity in Christ. Identity in Christ. You know, we give power to what we agree with. If you're going the wrong direction, you are giving power to lies, you're giving power to brokenness, you're giving power to rejection, anger, fear, addiction, bitterness, shame. Those things will, instead of, it will bring power for destruction in your life. But what I'm calling this church is this: know your identity. Rise up as children of God. Rise up as a child of God. God loves you unconditionally as a loving father. You are completely accepted by God. You are valuable to God. You have God's inheritance as a child of God. You are heirs in the kingdom of God. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are cleansed. You are justified. You are sanctified. You are made righteous. Rise up as a child of God. Number four, you have the power of God. Say that to your neighbor. The way we deal with pain is there's no power. Again, we go the wrong direction. We give, we think addiction is the answer. We think, anger is the answer. We think fear is the answer. It's not. There's rejection, there's abandonment, there's neglect, there's loneliness in this broken world. And what those things are, to me, this is how I define those things: rejection, abandonment, neglect, loneliness, means love is blocked. There's no love. That's what it is, rejection. There's no love. Okay? Yeah, and what we do, the way we handle when there's no love, we build walls in our hearts so nobody could hurt us. But it's not filling our heart with love, but it's more empty. We build walls. We build a dungeon that we could go into so nobody could hurt us. But it becomes a dungeon of bitterness. And what we do, as that bitterness grows, we lock the door, we pull up the drawbridge, and we put a moat around that castle. And in that moat, we put alligators. Don't you ever come near me. Right? That's what we do. Right? No. Right? Not in this church. Say that. Not in this church. Not in this church. Okay? In this church, again, we're forerunners that break boundary. We seek change. We seek healing. We seek freedom that's in Christ Jesus. Okay? You know, and the way that happens is we can't do this by human power. It's impossible. We can't do this by human power. God has to change us. God has to help me. God will set you free. Okay? And when I started ministry, I had this, I can do it. You know, now at this late stage of my life, I know I can't do it. And my most common prayer right now, Holy Spirit, fill me. You know? I need your spirit in my life. Without your help, I can't do it. Not by might or by human power, but by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be free from my pain. Right? It's interesting, Galatians chapter 5, right? If you could go there, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23. Right? This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yeah. Many people, you know, we think, Holy Spirit, when he touches me, you know, I don't know, you know, manifestation, you know. It's manifestation. But what this passage is saying to me, in this broken world, right? We naturally go to anger. We naturally go to bitterness. We naturally worry. We naturally, you know, become fearful. There's naturally go toward guilt, shame, and depression when there's brokenness, when there's pain. We go toward those things. What this passage is saying to me, God offers you another direction. He offers you in another direction. If you're not afraid to deal with your deep-rooted pain, okay, and if you put your hope in the Lord, what he's saying is God will bring healing and freedom. God will bring healing and freedom. How do you know you are healed and free? There's more love. There's more joy. There's more peace. That's the definition of healing and freedom. We think healing and freedom, I just feel, no. What God's saying is the reason he wants to heal you, the reason he wants to set you free is so that he could give you more love. He could give you more joy. He could give you more peace. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not fruit of humankind. It's not fruit of Pastor Sam. I don't know how to create it. I don't know how to make it. Huh? It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But we gotta stop going the wrong direction toward brokenness, guilt, and shame and addiction. Because what those things will do, there's no space. It clouds our hearts so much. You know, there's so much fear. There's no room for love, for God to put love in there. There's no room for peace. There's no room for joy. So put your hope in the Lord. Change your direction. Right? Hope. Because when you're hopeless, you run away from pain. Right? But God's saying, don't run away from your pain. He says, I will be with you. Right? Though you walk in the valley of the shadow of death, don't be afraid, because I will be with you. But he doesn't just say that. Okay? He's going to heal and set you free. Okay? He's going to, in your heart, you will overflow with the fruit of the Holy Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Okay? And that's what we want as a church. Not human, you know, faking love and joy, performance, love and joy, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit of love, joy, and peace. Amen? Replace the deep, what God wants to do is he wants to replace the deep-rooted pain with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He wants to replace your pain with new life. Okay, let's pray. It says that though I walk in the valley of shadow of death, though you are not running away from it anymore, you're in the midst of your deep-rooted pain. Though I walk in the valley of shadow of death, and I want you to proclaim, I will not fear. I will not be afraid. For you are with me. I don't want to go toward addiction. I break its power over my life. I don't want to become an angry person. I don't want to become a fearful person. I want to be healed. I want to be set free of my past pain, my rejection, my shame. I want to be forgiven and be set free from my bitterness. I want to be cleansed, so that God could give me new life. God's offering you new life. Not the old ways. He doesn't want you to stumble and fall. What kind of God would that make him? Up in heaven, just watching you stumble and fall and talking about you behind your back? Look what this guy did. That's not God. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be set free. That's why he sent his only son, Jesus. I will not be afraid, for thou art with me. What is that one thing that you cannot let go? What's that one thing that you cannot let go? I'm going to stop running away. I'm going to stop trying to numb myself. I'm going to stop getting angry at everybody else. I'm going to stop living in fear. Let it go to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Grieve in the Lord.